Good evening, everyone. Broadcasting live, March 2nd, 2016. So I've been sick for the past days. Last night the power went out. So no internet. Oh no, not the power. The internet went out. Power was on. The internet went out. So but probably was still too sick to broadcast it. The Buddha said, freedom from sickness is the greatest gain. Arogya parama labha. Which is interesting. At face value, it seems a little odd. Of course, you can't deny the fact that when you're sick, it doesn't matter what you get. What else you get? What else you've got? You can be rich. You can be surrounded by friends. You can have guards at every door. But when you're sick, it all means nothing. The most comfortable bed can become a torture chamber. The greatest food can become poison. You have warmth and it's too hot, or you can be freezing cold in a hot room. You can be boiling up in a cold room. Sickness will do that. But there's more to that, more to this saying than just that. Freedom from sickness. Freedom from sickness means more than just physical sickness. We're all sick. We're all sick in body and mind. We've gotta eat. We've gotta drink. We've gotta breathe. These are all sicknesses. Yeah. Warning, tonight's talk might be a little depressing. Or humorous, depending on how Buddhist you are. I don't even know if anyone's listening. Maybe you're all gone. I've been away for so many days. Anyway, this gets recorded, so someone will hear it eventually. Maybe after I'm dead. We have to urinate and defecate. These are sicknesses. Sickness. Try and stop yourself from defecating. Try and stop yourself from urinating. You know, but those are maybe pretty extreme. We don't normally think of them as sicknesses. So put them aside, that's fine. Still have the sicknesses of getting cold and flu. They have, well, the Buddha, in the Girimananda Sutta, he detailed all of these different kinds of sickness. Everyone should read the Girimananda Sutta. That's really a good, it's one part about various types of sicknesses. There's the eye, there's eye sicknesses and ear sicknesses and nose sicknesses. There's body sicknesses. There's all kinds of diseases. And really, if you've got any of these, doesn't really matter what else you got. But even that isn't really freedom from sickness. Even freedom from the many diseases that we can get, that we recognize as diseases, isn't true freedom, right? Because then we have mental sickness. And most people think that they're... I think most of us think that most of the rest of the people around them are free from mental illness. But I bet, if not most, many people will admit to themselves that they have mental illness themselves. Even if they won't admit it to others or ever think about going to see a doctor about it. But we look around at everybody else and we think, well, they look normal, right? It's funny, you can barely... If you're not looking carefully, you can't tell the difference between people who... Even people who are taking medication for mental illness. They're almost indistinguishable. Very hard to tell the difference. But even taking medication doesn't solve the problem. In taking medication, a person on medication still knows they've got a problem. They're not fixing it. They're just covering it up. Well, most anyway. I do know some people who think that medication solves their problems. Which is, well, that's another argument. But if we just go, Let's talk about the mental illness. Okay. Well, first of all, we should back up and let's detail. Let's go over the standard enumeration for sickness. The Buddha enumerated four types of sickness based on their origin. So we've got sickness from the environment, and then we've got sickness that comes from food, we've got sickness that comes from the mind, and sickness that comes from karma. Maybe not in that order. Actually, this may not have come from the Buddha, I can't remember. Maybe in the commentaries. Pretty sure it's from the Buddha. Anyway. Definitely Buddhist. So the first two are more physical. Sickness comes from the environment. Normally we understand this as viruses, bugs that you get when you touch the same doorknob that someone else who had the sickness had, or when someone coughs into your face. Any kind of communicable disease. But it can also be radiation poisoning, or lead or water poisoning. Oh, that's maybe from food. But yeah. Anything from the environment. Well, let's say water poisoning is also from the environment. These people in Michigan, I heard about, you know, their water poisoned. Like the government didn't do anything about it or something. Very bad karma. All that kind of sickness comes from the environment. Even I would say some kind of sickness that comes from food, you could call environmental sickness instead, like food. Like a lot of cancer and stuff probably comes from chemicals, pesticides that gets into food, gets into plastic, and excuse me. Our meat is tainted. People who eat liver that has mercury, I think, or fish that has all sorts of mercury and stuff. That's environmental poisoning. But food poisoning, poisoning from food, or sickness that comes from food, I suppose bacteria could be included there, but I would say this mostly deals with overeating or eating fatty foods, you know, diabetes, heart disease. Obesity. These aren't so important. What's much more important is the third one, the mind. Sickness that comes from the mind. Because your body can be sick, but your mind can be okay. On the other hand, if your mind is sick, your body's not likely to stay okay. You know? Mind can hurt the body. Can the body hurt the mind? I suppose, but not directly. Depends on the mind. If the mind is like an open sore, and then the body can harm the mind. The mind has to be reactionary, has to be reactive. The mind is strong or, you know, wise is more important. The mind is free from clinging. And the body has no effect. Even if the body is sick and in pain, and even if you're dying, it can be at peace. So this is what we aim to accomplish. This is actually relates to the fourth one, because sickness that comes from karma actually comes from the mind in the first place, but it's indirect. So the mind makes the body sick. That's karma. You become an evil and twisted person. You get sick. Seemingly for no reason. Some people have very strange sicknesses that doctors can't figure out the cause for. Hey, who knows? We would argue that maybe, just maybe, some of them are caused by karma. Maybe some cancer is caused by this as well. Because cancer is a weird sickness. It just seems to pop up. And sometimes it doesn't seem to go away. You get rid of it, and then just out of nowhere it pops up again. Mysterious. It's almost as though you were born with some pre-inclination. Towards cancer. So the mind is the most important. When we talk about freedom from sickness, we really mean state of being free from the fires of greed and anger and delusion, the fevers of defilements that inflame the mind. These are not easy to overcome. I mean, you know, physical sickness, what's it gonna last for? What's the worst physical sickness gonna last for? These days it doesn't last more than a year, 5 years, the outside, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. There's no sickness that lasts 100 years, not that I know of. Except for life, I guess life sometimes lasts that long. Call that a sickness. The sickness of hunger, the sickness of thirst, these last. But beyond that, that's it. But sickness in the mind is something we carry with us. Carry with us to hell, carry with us to the animal realms. Carry with us from life to life. And then we complain about how hard it is to get rid of these sickness, right? I come to meditate and, oh, I've been practicing for a week already. Why am I still getting angry? Why am I still attached to all these things? I've been practicing for a year. Well, I mean, not to say that you have to equal it out, that you have to somehow practice an equal number of years as you've been greedy or angry or deluded. But you have to keep things in proportion. We're building new habits, and new habits are stronger because they're more immediate. But they're also weaker because they're only recent. So it's important not to lose hope, we shouldn't look down upon the fact that we've been working hard. Shouldn't ignore that. Yes, we work hard. And that work isn't in vain. But we've also worked hard at being greedy and angry and deluded. We've done a good job cultivating those. We've had a lot more practice at that. So that's all we need, is practice and practice and practice. Every moment of mindfulness, that's feeding into the habit of mindfulness. You can always start. Never too late. Anyway. So that's sickness. Hopefully by tomorrow the cough will be gone. I'll have a little more energy. But I'm also very behind in school. Got this crazy idea to go back to school and study things. Not sure how that's working out now, but there's a peace symposium at McMaster that I'm helping organize. I like peace studies, so I like encouraging peace. But we'll see how that goes. And studying the Lotus Sutra. I'm going to try to do an essay on the polemic aspects of the Lotus Sutra. Because I like getting in trouble. My professor actually agrees with me. He thinks it'd be a good topic. What's interesting is the Lotus Sutra never really gained traction in India, but gained a lot of traction in East Asia. And what's interesting about that is is that it was very much directed at mainstream Indian Buddhism. So the question is, how is it that when it moved to China, where there was no Buddhism, it became a hit? And I guess maybe what I'm going to look at is whether it became a hit for the wrong reasons, like how we reinterpret religious texts in ways that they were never meant to be interpreted. Because I'm told that I'm interpreting the Lotus Sutra completely wrong, which is funny. Because I wonder if the people who are telling me that are actually, well, you know, we each interpret things our own way, and who's to say what is the right way? But it may be that there is a clear, because take for example the Old Testament and how the Old Testament was interpreted by the New Testament authors to say that to be to prophesize Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, if, according to Christians, or the Christian authors of the New Testament, was supposed to prophesize the coming of Jesus. There's a lot of passages that were said to do that. But according to biblical scholars, that's almost ridiculous, or it is a ridiculous sort of claim. I mean, unless you are willfully ignorant in terms of saying, you know, well, each interpretation is equally valid. It's just not true. The Old Testament was clearly written, and what we call the Old Testament was clearly written by a diverse group of authors, but it was also written for clearly political and specific reasons. I mean, the point being, there's no way that it had anything to do with prophesizing the coming of Jesus Christ. Just an example, believe it or not, that's what. So, the question is whether the Lotus Sutra is in a similar state. Whether, I just like to look at, I guess, how the Chinese teachers did, and maybe even do today, interpret those passages of the Lotus Sutra that, to me, as an Indian Buddhist scholar, are clearly aimed at denouncing Indian Buddhism, which was totally unbeknownst, which was totally unknown to the people who came in contact with the Lotus Sutra, I think. But at any rate, not. Sorry, I don't mean that I'm confused. It's just that it's not that it was unknown. It's that it had no place. So when the Lotus Sutra and I guess teachings like it came to China, there was they weren't reacting to anything. They could be taken completely at face value. Which I guess my argument is that they weren't meant to be taken at face value. Or they weren't intended, or they weren't expected to be taken at face value. They were expected to be they were expected to create controversy because they were stepping into a realm of Buddhist orthodoxy. So I don't know where that came from. It must be the sickness talking. Just kidding. Anyway. What else? Studying Latin as well. Studying Latin while you're sick is not the most fruitful thing. Anyway, I'm gonna go. That's all for tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. Wishing you all good practice. Good night.